You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There are delays on I-235 southbound moving on to K-96 east. The backup starts at 37th Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. Cloudy skies will eventually clear out this afternoon. Strong south winds, 15 to 25 and gusty, and a high of 73. Clouds come right back in tonight. Breezy and mild overnight, low 62. Clearing skies, windy and warm on Thursday with a high of 83, but thunderstorms are likely during the evening. Those could be strong, if not severe. Mostly sunny and really nice on Friday, high 77. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Odyssey sports draft coverage is presented nationally by Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. And by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Mets losing ways continued on Tuesday. They fell 5-3 to the Twins, making it 12 in a row that they've now lost. They at least got some good news that Juan Soto is going to return later on this afternoon. He's back in the lineup for the Mets, but 12 in a row with a payroll as high as the Mets have. You've got so many players that you're paying a substantial amount of money and they can't win. I don't know how Steve Cohen does it.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. You know, I mean this in the most endearing way possible. I knew that I was like, we're going to get Briscoe in on a Wednesday. And I can guarantee you that he's a man that has some options for a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Thank you, Josh. TJ is a fun hater, world renowned. He'll wear a fur coat in hour number one, but won't wear a Hawaiian with us on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. So glad to have you here, rocking, celebrating the correct way on a Wednesday. It's hump day. We got to get the, you know, we got to get this thing going to the end of the week. Let everybody know we're ready to have a good time.
I mean, this is not in any way an exaggeration. I could wear a different Hawaiian shirt with you guys every week during the football season and never have a repeat if that was the prompt. I have my array of ridiculous to just kind of the daily drivers. I'll say, Jacob, I'm impressed by you having the regular staple in your life this way, because I also, I mean, this is a compliment. You give off professional broadcaster in so many ways, you know, like it just feels like you have your ducks in a row, so to speak, as the pro that you are. TJ, I never would have guessed you were a fun hater. Wow. I thought you were a fun guy.
I joined after this bit started, and I've taken it to be my official stance to just hate Jacob every Wednesday morning when this happens, when the stupid ukulele starts playing. I just have to roll my eyes.
I got nice. Max, like the producer, it. Leans in too, and now he has us the Hawaiian cut up, some Hawaii 5-0. Yeah. But I am a dad of three and one on the way, Josh. Must own a number of Hawaiians, yes. And I do. Yes. At this point, I've repeated this, but I bet I have 20-ish Hawaiians to choose from.
So. Variety is the spice of life, they That's say. Right. I don't know who said that. Hopefully it was somebody who didn't later do something horrible. But that, I just think it's important. You know, I don't have a ton of closet space, but I could argue I've got too many clothes. If I had to pare down my entire wardrobe, I think I could subsist on three Hawaiian shirts, a drawer full of tank tops, and a couple of cardigans. That's kind of where my style has settled in lately, and I'm just so tickled that that's so in lockstep with this beautiful radio show.
You gotta let people know. You know, how else are they supposed to know? You gotta let them know. It's because of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, by the way, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, but I was not because I'm a little older and unaware. Careful, I've been wearing a Hawaiian with the upside down pineapple for years now, and didn't make that.
We learn things.
So for you know, for all the people watching all these years and being like, huh? Well, all right then. There you go.
I'll tell you a very, very brief story about somebody, a listener of the show saying hi. We were getting gas somewhere. Me and my producer at the time, Rudy, we just finished a radio remote somewhere. We were fueling up somewhere, and I was wearing a hat that has a little pineapple on it. And one of our mini liners for the radio show back in the day had me saying something absurd about, like, look at me. I got a little pineapple. And so that played for months or whatever. And then eventually at this gas station, this guy comes up to Rudy and I, we've got the radio station car and everything. And he comes up to me and he points at me and he goes, oh, you're the guy with a little pineapple. And I said, yes, sir, I certainly am. Thank you for solidifying my legacy. That was years ago and I'll never forget it.
Thanks for noticing. All right, let's talk draft here. It's all over the place, Josh. You know, we looked at this a long time ago and wondered what they might do. Well, they signed Kenneth Walker. Okay, check that box. Everything is on the table outside of quarterback, isn't it? Trades either direction, players at all the different positions, I guess quarterback and running back. Anything else is there for them. It feels like they're in a position of a little bit of strength to me here to do whatever it is that they want to do.
I think that here's where obviously we've spent months in this. I have recounted a couple of times this week talking to you guys. I think it must have been the last time we talked at the end of the regular season. I was like, all right, well, this season's essentially been over for a few weeks. What do you want them to do? And I told you, my heart wants them to draft Carnell Tate, a guy who I don't believe will be there at number 9. I don't think he'll be a Chief. But like at the very beginning of the draft process, my heart was on Carnell Tate, but I think we agreed at the time that edge rusher was the responsible thing. But for me, it's pretty definitive, or it was pretty definitive in December and January, that the thing they most needed to reinforce in this draft was edge rusher and pass catcher, or even just pass rusher and pass catcher, if you will. We've had months of chaos and the smoke screens and the mock drafts and all sorts of things. And the Trent McDuffie trade obviously totally changes the math. I'm at a point now where I am back to where I was at square one. And frankly, I'm not sure I ever really left, but I wanted to at least evaluate, you know, what are all of these options. All of the tackle talk of the last few weeks has just made my head spin. Not at 29 or at 40, but at 9 overall. I just don't see the vision for that. But ultimately, I'm at a place now where if you said, hey, between 9, 29, and 40, however they move, they need to make three top 40 picks in my mind. I don't want to move that 40th pick for other spot adjustment if I can help it. If they leave those three picks with an edge rusher, a wide receiver, and something else, I think I'll be content. That to me is where I stand, where there is some flexibility. If what Brett Veach said about the defensive in-depth into the second round, if that's true, then yeah, you could take Caleb Downs at 9. Maybe you try to move up for Casey Concepcion in the 20s, and then you just take the best edge available at 40. You could do that. I think still the best case scenario is probably Bane at 9, trade up for your favorite receiver in the 20s, and then take whatever the best player available is at 40. But they need to have more flexibility than that, to your point, because this top 7, top 8 picks, obviously top 7 after Mendoza, could go in just about any direction. It's kind of fun and kind of scary.
And that's the point I made earlier in the show, Josh, is that it feel, you know, I said the old cliche is always that after the first three quarterbacks go, all right, the real draft starts now. The real, like, nobody knows who's going to go at 2, honestly. Like, we've looked at different, like, 3 different mocks today, and they had different ones who's going to go at 2. If you are the Chiefs, and you know, we've made the point that they've got the capital, they could move up to, you know, 3 is reported, stuff like that. Like, you know, is there a scenario where it's like, we want him, but I have no idea if he's going to be there at 4, if he's going to be there at 5. Like, do they move up? And if they do move up, I don't even think that there's a clear answer of who they take if they do move up.
It's such a good question. It's just so hard to hear a question from someone not wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'll try to power through. But I don't think for me, at the price point there would have to be, I don't think a move up to three is going to make fiscal sense to me unless they love Arvel Reese, a guy who you thought was going to go two for the last 3 months. Maybe it is David Bailey at two. But to that point, like if they wanted to move up to six with the Browns and no receivers have gone yet and they do love Carnell Tate or they do love Jordan Tyson and the Giants didn't take him at five, then I would understand, especially with the precedent we have right now where it seems like you're not going to have to pay as much on the dollar to move around in this draft because it seems like the consensus is that there is not much of a consensus. So if the Browns aren't charging overpriced to move up three spots, if you wanted to do that to get a guy you didn't think would be there, that makes sense. Peter Schrager, who tends to know things, like every mock, you should take every mock with an entire bucket of salt. But Schrager tends to know things and tends to know things about the Chiefs, at least he has in years past. His mock today, he has the Chiefs and Cowboys just swapping their two first-round picks, and the Chiefs drop down to 12 and still get Reuben Bain. I think it was an Omar Cooper for them at 20, and I'd rather have Concepcion, but I'd be happy with an edge and a receiver in the first round, kind of however you get there. I think it is very likely that they don't pick at 29. I think it's most likely that they just have to sit and wait things out at 9. I just don't know if it's worth the cost. But then if you're moving something in the day 3 pick range, or maybe a couple of picks, you're doing some pick swap, something like that, to move up from 29... It'd probably have to be day 2 range, I should say. But if you're moving up from 29, you might be able to buy yourself 5 or 6 spots there without losing a worthwhile dart throw, which is kind of what I think of some of those mid-round picks being. I could see them moving up from 29. I'd be a little surprised if they move up from 9. And the way things are going with Bain, it seems like he should, air quotes, should be there at 9. If he's the guy, be patient. If they think there's a significant difference between Bailey and Reese and Reuben Bain, I could see them doing that if they think that they can pull the trigger relatively cheaply.
That's my preferred path. Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us here. That's become my preferred. If the Cardinals are willing to dance, I'm hoping the Chiefs go get Reese or Bailey. They have not had. Who was the last truly elite rusher off the edge that they've had? When was the last time they just had a good pass rush in general? I mean, it's been so long. It's sort of like the left tackle conundrum on the other side of the ball. They just keep trying and never finding the answer there. And they have poured buckets of resources into it. Just go get one of those guys. 29 is a pick to me. Like they like to get cute down there in the first round. Like I'd be willing to go up to 3, even if it costs me 29 because they have 40. I'm fine with it if it gets you one of the true elite players in this draft. And I do think both of those guys are two of the true elite players in this draft.
That's the follow-up question is are those guys on a distinctly different tier? And I would probably tend to agree that it would be, I'd be fascinated if they did it for Reese, but really for either of those guys, it would be fascinating for them to move up that way because those aren't the types of defenders they've invested in that way. Like even, Felix Anudike Uzomah was an outlier and he was pick 32 and you're drafting in Kansas City and his success or failure doesn't impact what if the Chiefs should draft David Bailey, right? But if you just said, hey, don't look at the big boards, watch Arvel Reese, David Bailey, and Reuben Bain. Watch them play college football. Who does Steve Spagnuolo most want on his team? I'd be able to point to Reuben Bain pretty quickly, even though I'd probably say that Reese and Bailey have higher ceilings for their NFL careers. I haven't heard anything about the Chiefs and Reese until like this week, and even that's just like purely speculative. And because I just didn't think he'd be there. It seemed like he was going to be the guy at 2. If this was a draft class where you had a Will Anderson type, first of all, the Jets wouldn't trade back.
Right.
The Cardinals wouldn't trade back, right? But if you had a guy like that who was a clearly dominant player that has the... comparing anyone to Myles Garrett is unfair because there's one Myles Garrett. And thank God, because I don't know that we could handle two of them. But like if you had another player at that level, I'd be very interested in moving up. If you said that you're either going to get David Bailey or Reuben Bain and whoever you draft at 29, I've got to take the second bucket there because I do think there is a need for multiple positions to be really infused with not just talent, but the rookie contracts that come with these picks, the fifth year option that comes with maybe if you get this pick right this time, that's really valuable. And that 40, I can't, I get you can change the math a little bit and you say, okay, you're trading number 9 and Trent McDuffie for and whatever else, right? And I really want the Chiefs in an ideal world to come away from those top 40 picks with, again, Bain, their favorite tier 2 receiver, and their favorite corner at 40, whoever that may be. Or if they really do love Jordan Tyson, if he's there at 9, if they really do love Mekhi Lemon at 9, take him there and then hope that Keldrick Faulk is available at 29 and then do it again at 40. I do think they have a lot of good options here. We're just so close now that it feels like everything is just spinning around this universe and we don't know what's going to happen after 1, which is really bizarre.
Like what I said is that, you know, you can make this as an argument for the Chiefs trading up or for the Chiefs staying put or for the Chiefs trading back. Honestly, it's in the eye of the beholder here. But I brought up Veach's comments the other day in his press conference that he did. And he said, like, this is such an interesting draft because, like, the non-premium positions, like, there's no, like, true, like, this quarterback has to go here. This guy needs to go here. Like, there will, I don't think there's going to be much drafting for fit, period, in the first round. I think that there's so much volatility of 2 through, I mean, what do you want to say? I mean, 40. Like, it feels like it's kind of nuts there. Like, do you think that that's something to where it's like, that can be an argument to stay put, to be like, we could get a guy at 9 that could have been a guy at 5. Caleb Downs, you brought up, is mocked to 5 so many places.
Yeah, I do. And again, that there have been people who have said, like, not that he would go here, but there have been plenty of people who I respect that say, I would have Reuben Bain 2 on my big board behind Mendoza. And if you can take him at 9 or trade back with the Cowboys and get him at 12, I'm not banking on that. I just, you know, saw Schrager do that this morning. If you can get him at 9, and I think I'd rather have Bain at 9 than Bailey at 2 or Bailey at 3, I guess, for this case. And I don't know. I'm thinking now, like, should I have watched more Arvel Reese and figured out how Spags would? I just didn't think that was going to be a question.
Right.
But if you're talking about Bain and Bailey, yeah, I'd rather have Bain at 9 than Bailey at 3. And I guess I'd rather have Bailey at 9 than Bain at 3. I think that because there is such a fine margin there, I also do wonder if Veach is telling the truth when he kind of talks about there being a top 9 or 10. Is that just a convenient number or is that true? Where you have 9 or 10 first round grades when in other years you might have 12 to 15 true, and again, first round grades, not that they'll go in the first round, but guys that you think are worthy of that level of pick. If Veach was telling the truth, you probably do want to go ahead and be able to fire on your pick at 9, or if you think other teams disagree, and again, the Cowboys jump you for Sonny Styles or whatever it would be, then you might be able to bide your time, and then things get really wacky again from, let's say, 15 to 40. If those guys are all the same player, then you shouldn't trade up from 29 either. You shouldn't trade up from 40 either. You're throwing darts at that range. I do wonder if they have other wide receivers. I know I've just been hammering receiver every time we talk every week for a year now. But if there is a receiver like Concepcion who they think this guy's ceiling is higher than being the fourth receiver off the board here, that's a trade up that I'm not going to balk at for even a second, because I think for what the Chiefs need, I think I would be willing to give up one of those picks to scoot up a little bit for Concepcion instead of Boston at 24 or whatever it might be. But I don't think I'm willing to pay the premium from 9 to 3 as long as one of those defenders gets there. Again, like Caleb Downs is a great example. He might be the best football player in this draft, non-premium position. Now, what's interesting is the Chiefs signed non-premium positions in free agency, and so that cupboard is still pretty bare.
Well, and with a couple minutes left here, Josh, your point about the extra first year and your point on receiver, especially with it's unlikely, I would say, that the Chiefs sign Rashi Rice to a huge deal that right. He's going to get somewhere. Receiver, edge rusher, and as much as it makes you cringe, tackle. Premium, high-paid positions, I think we got to keep that in mind as maybe the options there, because when I'm watching Alec Pierce make whatever it is, $30 million a year, man, having a receiver with the extra, like that's got more weight. So does edge rusher. Those are two expensive positions. I think you might be onto something, and I think that might be where some of the tackle talk is coming too, to be perfectly honest.
I agree, and I'll add cornerback to that as well, yeah. Which is we're kind of brainwashed because I think the three of us would be a decent starting trio for Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo. I don't think we have the measurables. I don't know if we have the length or the speed, but I feel like we'd just let us do some press man. I do still think that the Chiefs' strategy is probably to keep just stealing value in the middle rounds at corner. But if they think the medicals on Jermaine McCoy are fine and they take him at 29 or 40, they're going to get an unbelievable football player as long as his knees are okay. Jordan Tyson, very similar argument, different specifics, but a similar idea. But no, I do think that's right. And that's why if they take a tackle at 29, I won't be apoplectic. I'll be like a little bummed because I don't think it's the best use of resources where the roster is right now. I think that on some level, like Esipole is probably further along than Jalen Royals if you're just going to like combine, you know, who's the next man up. And you do have Jalen Moore this year. And to your point, maybe Jalen Moore and Rashee Rice are in the same kind of bucket. The issue is your third tackle doesn't play real games unless there's an injury. You need a rotation of defensive ends and wide receivers to take you into the next era.
I agree.
Josh, Jacob, breaking news. The Royals just announced they're moving to Crown Center.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that in a minute. Josh, let's do it again after the draft. We'll look back at it here in the next week or so, maybe even on a Wednesday so we can rock out the Hawaiians.
I might just wear the Hawaiian shirt either way just to get under TJ's skin.
Yeah. Now you know how to push the buttons. Josh, we appreciate it. We're coming right back. Follow Josh at JB Briscoe on X, all the different places. We'll see you on the other side.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.